Please turn with me to Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and to leave them in the lodging place where you lodge to the night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up the stone of his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of the covenant of the Lord, and it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever.
Good morning. It's always good to be here with everybody. It's wonderful to get a chance to spend time with the brothers and sisters in Christ and to encourage one another. And I hope that we can continue to do that for a long time. One of the things that came to my mind as I was preparing for this lesson was how close we are to a holiday. Memorial Day is coming up. It's a week from tomorrow. For many people, that is just another day off of work. Maybe it's a day to cook out. The beginning of camping season for a lot of people, or barbecue season, or however you want to define that. But Memorial Day was designed to be a day to help us remember things that have happened in the past. To remember those who have been willing to die for us. Remember those who were willing to give their lives for our country, for our freedom. And that's a special thing. And we often set up memorials to help us remember things. Because we're a forgetful people. We often use memorials to remember people, remember large events, remember small events. And I have some pictures here of a few memorials that you may recognize. The Washington Memorial is one of the most famous in the world. Designed to help us remember the founder, one of the founders of our country, George Washington, commander of the army during the Revolutionary War and our first president, and the things that he did. In the middle there, you may recognize, you may not have seen it, but this is the memorial put in place up at Ground Zero for September 11th that they have recently finished, or mostly finished. That was only 16 years ago, but sometimes we need help remembering that. Last weekend, I had the opportunity to go to the Flight 93 Memorial out in western Pennsylvania. For those of you who have been there, done a beautiful job to help us remember those events. And on the far right, you may recognize the Vietnam War Memorial down in Washington, D.C., to help us remember those who died in the Vietnam War. And there are many, many others that I could have made pictures of. Washington, D.C. is full of memorials for all the wars that we fought, for many great people, for all kinds of things to help us remember. You can go down just down the road, maybe 30, 45 minutes to Gettysburg. There are thousands of memorials in that national park to help us remember the things that happened there. Because we're forgetful people. But more than that, it's there to help us remember for generations to come. Many of us do remember the events of September 11th, 2001. But you may not realize that there are some of our youth sitting in this building right now who weren't alive when that happened, who don't remember it. But we build things and help remind them, even though they didn't see it, that they can know what happened and have something to jog their memory of that, to bring it to their mind. I'm not old enough to remember the Vietnam War. Some people here are. I wasn't alive when the Vietnam War was going on. But I can go to the Vietnam War Memorial and have a reminder of people who died in order to protect freedom. I don't think there's anybody here who's old enough to remember George Washington. But we have something built so that that memory doesn't fade. Because we're forgetful people. Remembering the things that came before can be a valuable thing. So it's not just Memorial Day that we have set up or these memorials that we've built. There are multiple days that are set aside throughout the year to help us remember. Memorial Day, Veterans Day, Independence Day. I could go on. Many of you have these as days off from your work. They're national holidays. They're set aside to help us remember things. It can help keep us from taking for granted the things that we have now by remembering the things that have come before. Well, this applies to our spiritual lives as well. We can be a forgetful people for what God has done. We need reminders of what God has done for us. Because we're to be thinking of God, we're to be thinking of His will and what He has done. Not once a year, not once a week, not even once a day, but all the time. We should be mindful of what God has done and His will for us. But we're a forgetful people. The necessity of these memorials is very clear in the pattern of the Judges. And if you look at Judges chapter 3, verses 7 through 12, you can see the pattern just the first time in this set of verses. Judges chapter 3, verses 7 through 12, and you can follow the pattern that's up there on the screen in these verses. And the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God, and they served the Baals and the Asherahs. And the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram-Naharaim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. Then they cried out to the Lord, and he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. And the Spirit of the Lord came on him, so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. And the Lord gave the king of Aram into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. And the land had peace for 40 years, until Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Then again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And because they did this evil, the Lord gave Eglon, king of Moab, power over them. And that pattern continues. They fall away. They're punished for it. Then they cry out for help. And God delivers them. And while that judge lives, they serve him. And then as soon as he dies, they fall away again. And the pattern repeats. Throughout the book of Judges, 13 times this pattern repeats. We look at that and say, how could they do that? But we follow that same pattern in our own lives on a regular basis. It's easy when we have that reminder of God, maybe on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, to serve Him and do His will for a little while. But then Monday and Tuesday roll around, and we forget, and we fall into our own selfish habits. We need reminders of what God has done for us. There are lots of memorials that we can build. Memorials of God's power. In the passage that was just read by Johnny in Joshua chapter 1, 4 through 7, God had them build a memorial to remind them for generations to come of His power, of what He had done in stopping the waters so they could cross the Jordan. As well as all the other many things that He had done over the past 40 years before that, in getting them to that place. They had a memorial to remind them of God's power. And what does it say? So that when your children ask you what those stones are for, that you can tell them of what God did for you. It was there to be a reminder for generations to come of God's power over them. We have constant reminders of God's power if we look for them in creation, in what He has made. I have a picture here of one of my favorite places in the world, Yellowstone National Park. It's the lower falls of Yellowstone National Park. Some of you have been there. It's a beautiful place. When I go there, I am there and I am in awe of what God has made. But we don't have to go to a national park to see God's creation at work. We can just look up into the heavens and see the sun, the moon, and the stars. We can look down at the ground and see the grasses and the flowers. Look at the trees. Everything around us screams at us of God's power in creation. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, he tells us that that's why it's there. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. We are given reminders of God's power if we'll look for them. His creation is everywhere. Even if you live in the middle of the city, there is evidence of God's creation and his power. It's right there if you look for it. God's power is eternal. And if we're reminded of his power, it makes it so much easier to live the life he wants us to live. We know that he is there. We're also given reminders of God's deeds, what he has done. This started in the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 12, God created the Passover feast for them, for the people of Israel. And in Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 24, he says to them, "Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt, who spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' And the people bowed down and worshipped." He created the Passover feast as a constant reminder for generations to come of what he had done to bring them out of Egypt. They celebrated that every year to remind themselves of that. And Jesus celebrated the Passover. But while doing that, he instituted something new for us. He gave us a new reminder, not of what God had done for the people of Israel, but what he was about to do for us. He gave us a reminder of what he was going to do on the cross. We just did that. We took the Lord's Supper together as a reminder of his deeds. In Luke 22:19, he told us we were to do this in remembrance of him, as a memorial to him of what he had done. Because we have to be reminded. What a momentous thing that God was willing to die for us. And yet in our lives, we don't always remember that. So he gave us a weekly reminder. And yet sometimes that's still not enough. But we also need reminders of God's will for us. God told the Israelites back in Deuteronomy, "You need to remember what I've told you to do." In Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." They were to have constant reminders of the law that God had given them. They were to be talking about it all the time. Because it's easy to forget what God wants us to do in our lives. So they talked about it constantly. Jesus said many similar things. But to me, one of the most poignant is the response that he gave to Satan when Satan tempted him. In Matthew 4:4, he says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The word of God should be as important to us as food. Because we need that constant reminder of what God wants us to do. In the junior high class this morning, we were talking about growing in faith. And what we need to do in order to keep God in our minds. One of the things that came up was spending time in the Scriptures. Do we spend enough time studying God's Word? Something you have to ask yourself. Do you spend enough time studying God's will for you? I don't always feel like I do. I need those reminders. And there are simple things we can do to remind ourselves of God's will. Whether it's setting yourself a Bible reading schedule, and we've had some wonderful things for that that help you get through, schedules that can either help you get through the whole Bible in a year or in 2 years or whatever schedule works for you, but something to remind yourself to read God's Word. Or even things like this plaque here, something that's hanging up that you can see every day that's a scripture to remind you of God's will. I have one in my room that hangs that has the armor of God printed on it as a plaque, as a reminder to myself of the commitment that I have made. Because I forget sometimes, because I'm weak. What are we doing in our lives to help us remember God all the time? Not once a year. Not once a week, not even once a day, but all the time. We need to be thinking of God. But God sets up one more challenge for us beyond that. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, he tells us we're also to be that memorial of him to others. He says that you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, God set us up as his memorial to the world, to show them who he is by our actions. Are we living up to that expectation? Are we being the memorial to him that God expects us to be? Should be a challenge to you. I know it is to me. So as we come up on this Memorial Day and we celebrate, think about what we need to be doing to remember the one who died for our freedom from sin. Jesus gave up everything for us. Are we remembering that? And are we living a life to show that to others? If you'd like to enter into that covenant and join in the body of Christ through baptism, or if you have anything that you'd like to share with the congregation and need help, we have elders in the back, or you can come forward while we stand and sing the song of encouragement.